Akwaba, Ekabo, Jambo, and hello again, Bankless Africa. It's the end of another week, which means it's time for Sats and Gwe, where we bring you weekly updates and recaps from some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes from across the globe. I am Neki, and I will be your host on today's episode. Now, just a reminder that none of what we share is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. Please do well to use the links in the show notes to do your own research. And please remember to subscribe, share, and comment. Now, as usual, we're going to kick off with how the markets are doing today, the 9th of July, 2023. Bitcoin currently sits at a value of $30,281.08, slightly down from its value last week at $30,571.74. Ethereum currently sits at $1,865, slightly down from its value last week at $1,925.20. The Optimism token currently sits at $1.21, down from its value last week at $1.32. The Matic token has remained relatively stable at the $0.6 mark, and the Bank token currently sits at $0.003854, down from what it was last week at $0.004085. So slightly across board, we'd see a mid to slight reduction in the market values of these currencies, which we consider on the show every weekend. But again, please bear in mind that this is not a reflection of the real-life impact that these projects are having in reality. You know, the market sways left and right, and again, we always try to remind our listeners that these projects hold much more water than their market values dictate. So whether they go up or they go down, just do your own research, at least enough to know or to find out for yourself what good these projects are doing. Now, moving on to the national currencies. We're kicking off with the Ghanaian cedi, which currently sits at a value of 11.29 cedi to the dollar, slightly up from its value last week at 11.28 cedis to the dollar. The Nigerian naira still holds its currently holds a position of 769.5 naira to the US dollar. The Lesotho luthi and South African rand currently sit at 18.81 rand and luthi, up from what it was last week at 18.19. The Kenyan shilling currently sits at 138.12 shilling to the US dollar, down from what it was last week at 138.94 shilling to the US dollar. And the Central African CFA franc currently sits at 597.55 franc to the dollar, very slightly down from what it was last week at 598.2 francs to the dollar. Before we move on to this week's headlines, we would like to do a recap of some of the very interesting headlines from last week. The first one would be the Web3 Ladies and Celo collaboration for the Women Build Celo Hackathon. And for many people who do not know, Web3 Ladies is the largest Web3 company for ladies in Africa. And then they had that collaboration with Celo. Many of you might know Celo, or if you haven't heard about Celo, Celo is a leading payments infrastructure platform for cryptocurrencies. Now, these two collaborated to organize a hackathon for women in commemoration of International Women's Month, posthumous celebration, and also as a step towards, you know, bringing more women into the space of Web3. And I feel like that is one of the very most iconic things that's happened in the past couple weeks. And one that particularly triggered me was the case of Revix, a South African cryptocurrency platform, which reported last week that South African crypto customers can only now access 76% of crypto holdings. I mean, this case is still in progress, and this is due to a hack that Revix experienced. Now, I mean, you losing total control or access to 24% of your digital assets can be quite a pain in the ass. Quite a pain indeed. But I I haven't seen any more updates on that situation, but I'm really hoping that Revix is, you know, working really hard to fix that. And now moving on to the headlines for this week, South Africa to demand crypto firms be licensed by the end of the year. Now, you know, crypto regulation and licensing of players in the crypto space has been something that has been much talked about in many countries across Africa, and South Africa seems to be taking the lead on those reins. Now, South Africa will henceforth demand that crypto exchanges that operate in the country be licensed by its indigenous financial regulator by the end of the year. Now, the FSCA, which is the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, has received nearly 20 applications for licenses since it made this announcement a couple weeks ago. Now, the Commissioner of the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, Unathi Kamlana, said in an interview that the regulator plans to take enforcement actions that could see the firms being closed down or fined if they continue to operate without a license past the deadline, which would be by the 30th of November. Again, I quote, "There is potentially serious harm to financial customers when using crypto products. Therefore, it makes sense for us to introduce the regulatory framework. Time will tell the effectiveness of our measures, and we will continue to work together with the industry to refine and make changes where necessary." You know, I, for one, am a big, I wouldn't say big believer. I mean, how best to put it? So, yes, we've had many scams. We've had many companies tank. We've had many people lose their assets. We've had a lot of tragedy in crypto in the past year or two, especially. And I feel like these measures are definitely necessary so that in the event that something of that magnitude happens, somebody can be held accountable. Because, you know, in most cases, you just have some anonymous guys with sketchy Discord names launch a project, the project tanks, people lose their money, and that's the end of it. There's nobody to hold because nobody knows anybody. But the fact that they are starting to demand that people obtain licenses, or at least crypto exchanges obtain licenses, would mean that in the event that anything goes south, you know, there will be somebody to hold. Somebody can be held accountable to be like, hey, what happened? Where did all this money go? What has happened to people's digital assets? So again, I think that this is definitely a good thing for South Africa and for the crypto industry. I mean, I don't think the government is necessarily trying to, you know, enforce any set of stringent rules. But I feel like for the sake of consumer protection, there needs to be a very high level of transparency. You know, if we're going to consider cryptocurrency and blockchain as a formal sector of the economy, to make sure that this can be kept tabs on, and in the event that anything goes south, somebody can be held accountable. It's just pretty much trying to put a name to the face. I'm moving on to the next headline. At least 40% of South Africans are familiar with the concept of Web3, according to a study. Now, according to the results of a survey by Consensus on crypto and Web3, at least 40% of South Africans are familiar with the concept of Web3. Now, the survey postulated that South Africans have high levels of awareness of all Web3 concepts, and the majority of respondents were most familiar with the words metaverse, followed by the word NFT, non-fungible tokens, and Web3. Now, it is very important to note that to participate in Web3, according to that survey, one must have a very specific set of talents. And this was according to a response from 43% of the respondents who were asked about this. Most people believe that the most crucial talent required for being a part of the Web3 economy is the ability to trade digital assets, that's financial trading. 17% of South Africans polled marketing, while 24% of the total surveyed amount are quite sure that software engineering is the most needed skill to be involved in Web3. Now, as much as 40% may be a high number. That's actually a good sign that a lot of people are getting involved. There is still a lot more room for involvement, but according to at least 59% of the respondents, many people are afraid of getting into the cryptoverse because of scams. Now, a little less than half of those surveyed, about 48%, also identified that they are scared to get involved in the Web3, metaverse, and cryptocurrency markets because of the volatility of cryptocurrencies. Now, I get it that a lot of people are scared of losing their money, and that's a very rational fear. Nobody wants to hit ground zero, and nobody wants to lose. But again, you know what they say, no risk, no reward, no pain, no gain. And I feel like we generally need to start seeing cryptocurrency and blockchain technology as a solution for the future rather than a get-rich-quick scheme. And I feel like if we begin to picture it like that in the long term, then it would make more sense for more people to get involved and, you know, try to deal with irrational fears of loss and all of that. Again, I mean, like with all industries, there's always going to be the fear of scams, loss, and anything. That is why it's always advisable to do your own research before you get involved in anything. Because in the end, the only person who is ever going to bear the consequences of those loss would be you. Or maybe if the law is able to catch the people who perpetrate those kinds of things, yes, maybe they would also be held responsible. But it is your responsibility to do whatever you can to protect yourself at all times. Protect your money, protect your financial assets, protect everything you own because, well, you are responsible. And now moving on to the next headline. Chipper Cash formally launches operations in Rwanda, making it its sixth African country. Now, as many of you may know or do not know, Chipper Cash is a user-friendly, cutting-edge platform which allows Africans the chance to participate in international equities and cryptocurrencies, as well as facilitates ease of cross-border financial transfers. Now, in their effort to spread their services throughout Africa, Chipper Cash has recently announced the expansion of its operations to Rwanda, making it its sixth African country. This statement was made during the Kigali Convention Center's inaugural Inclusive FinTech Forum, which was billed as a global platform for advancing financial inclusion and harnessing the power of fintech for societal development. Now, Chipper Cash intends to expand its offers in Rwanda in the near future by launching an even more wider range of services there, you know, to include such things as the virtual card, which we already have here in Nigeria, you know, an easy method to allow you make purchases online, you know, from foreign websites using the US dollar, you know, to shop, to watch content, to subscribe. And Chipper Cash also plans in the near future to roll out a tool called Chipper for Business, which is, you know, a service specifically designed for small and medium-sized businesses to allow them operate effectively in the global market. Again, I know for one that Chipper Cash is a very popular platform here in Nigeria. A lot of people use it. I use it. It saved me a couple of times, you know, the ease with which you can pay for things, buy things, use things. And I am definitely rooting for them to expand to many more African countries because I feel like definitely this is a solution we all need. Africa needs to be financially connected to the rest of the world. And we haven't been so connected because of these limitations, you know, lack of access to foreign exchange and all of that. And I feel that if we're able to solve those problems in the near future, Africa is well on its way to the very top. Now moving on to the next headline, Blockchain UNN hosts the biggest campus blockchain conference in Africa. Now with over 2,000 attendees from all over Nigeria, including industry experts, passionate individuals, and thought leaders, all eager to explore the limitless possibilities of blockchain technology. The Blockchain UNN conference served as the catalyst for the blockchain revolution. It was held at the Ekpo Ref Hall, University of Nigeria, from June the 23rd to June the 24th, 2023. And I quote, "Beyond blockchain and beyond, the future of blockchain technology," was the theme of the Blockchain UNN Conference 2.0, which was held by Blockchain UNN, And the purpose of that was to educate people about blockchain technology and get them ready for future opportunities that it will bring about. The conference offered a wide range of workshops and teaching sessions, each of which was instrumental in providing insightful information about potential applications and expertise required in the blockchain ecosystem. These courses provide useful insights into the real-world uses of blockchain, including topics like decentralized finance, as many of us know DeFi, crypto trading, moving from Web 2 to Web 3, technical writing, blockchain content writing, blockchain development, smart contract development, and in general, software development. Again, I feel like it's definitely a go-to for builders in the space to reach out to, you know, people in tertiary institutions. I mean, these guys are still in school, about to leave school, or maybe are still there, you know, brimming with ideas, filled with the energy of youth, and very open to learning. I feel like if there is any faction or set of people that would be very willing to, you know, carry the gospel of blockchain technology on their heads, it would be these guys, people in this bucket. And it's definitely expedient as of right now to get more young people to know about the concepts of Web3 and the metaverse and decentralized finance and blockchain development and smart contracts, because it's a really big industry and there's a lot of room for everybody to play. So as many people who want to play, there will always be space. And, you know, given the ease of involvement, I mean, it's a decentralized space, you know, and you can participate. You don't necessarily have to be given permission by anybody. Just do your bit, you know, build stuff. And, you know, that's the kind of change we're looking to see in the next couple of years, where we have a wave of young people, really young people, taking over the blockchain space and the tech space and building really amazing stuff. Moving on to the next headline. Nigerian crypto tax move is premature, says local stakeholders. Now, as many may know or have heard, and this personally shook me up a bit, Nigeria is now proceeding to levy a 10% tax on all proceeds from crypto and Forex, which is wild given the fact that the Nigerian government has, and the CBN has many times declared crypto illegal, but now they want to tax it. That is very strange behavior. Now, the Finance Act 2023, which was signed into law in May, has been implemented. And this is according to a statement from Obinna Iwuno, the president of the Stakeholders in Blockchain Technology Association of Nigeria, CBAN. Now, the stakeholders are convinced that the hurried introduction of this law will make its implementation difficult. And this is a 10% tax on gains from the sale of digital assets, including cryptocurrency. Now, it's definitely worthy of note that so far in Nigeria, as with many countries in the world, commercial banks are very scarcely involved in the whole cryptocurrency process. Now, Iwuno used the definition of blockchain technology by Nigeria's National Information Technology Development Agency and the creation of a national policy as evidence for the claim. And Iwuno further questioned how taxing something that is not recognized or defined is feasible, and further highlighted the need for transparency and enabling infrastructure to accommodate cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology before levying taxes. Now, I would agree with this, that it is the government's responsibility to ensure that, I mean, before you, it's just like, you know, saying drugs are illegal, but then saying, oh, if you sell drugs, you are required to pay tax on the drugs you sell. It makes no sense. So again, if you're choosing to declare cryptocurrency as illegal, why are you trying to levy taxes on something that has already been termed illegal? I mean, I feel like that's not something the government should be doing. Definitely the government shouldn't be doing. If you want to take taxes off a particular industry, create a legal framework that incorporates it into the national economy. Make it legal. And yes, now we can begin to talk about taxes. But it makes no sense that people go out of their way to create this new wealth for themselves, and then you just want to come around and harvest 10% of it. It's to say the least, criminal, and I say that with no apology. And moving on to the next headline, crypto startup Pillow, backed by Aicel and Kona, to discontinue all services. Now, this one particularly hits hard because we have had a member of the Pillow Finance team on an episode of our podcast. I love the product they're building. I'm not sure the extent of this damage. I'm not sure if they'll be making a comeback. But on Friday, customers were notified by Singapore-based Pillow that it planned to end all its services and apps in the coming weeks due to certain regulatory uncertainties, which had already killed off several other cryptocurrency firms, which appear to be their counterparts in recent months. Now, this declaration was made by the management of Pillow Finance after Flint, the main rival of Pillow, shut down its services last month, citing, and I quote, regulatory hurdles and negative market sentiment. Now, for context, Pillow offered returns of up to 18% when it first launched on, deposits for stable coins and all of that. And that number fell to 14% as soon as the markets began to, go down. Now, in total, at launch, Pillow received roughly $21 million in funding from investors, including Aicel, Kona, Elevation Capital, and Jump Crypto. And in October of last year, Pillow announced its $80 million Series A investment. So one is tempted to wonder, for a company that appeared to be doing so well, why would they shut down? And there we have this insight that for more than a year, the Reserve Bank of India, the country's central bank, has pushed lenders to stop working with cryptocurrency businesses, making it very hard for Web3 startups to operate. Now, Brian Armstrong, the CEO of Coinbase, stated, and I quote, elements in government there, including at the Reserve Bank of India, don't seem to be positive on it. Thus, they are attempting to prevent certain of these payments that may be made over UPI by enforcing what has been referred to in the news as a shadow ban behind the scenes. Now, as many people know, as much as crypto firms claim to be decentralized, or as much as we say crypto is decentralized, we still have a certain dependency on very large commercial banks to facilitate, on-ramping and off-ramping and things like that. But now the fact that Pillow is originally of Indian origin, I believe, but, headquartered in Singapore. So yes, they were supposed to have, I believe, an agreement with the Reserve Bank of India, to facilitate some of these on and off ramping activities. But apparently that support seemed to have stopped. And that also appeared to be the cause of the shutdown. And I don't think it's just Pillow that is affected. Several other companies in that bucket, including Flint, were affected. And I feel like this is very counterproductive. The crypto industry is creating jobs, transforming lives. I feel like the least the government of any country can do is to create a framework to support this, regulate it if they will, provide licensing if they will, but support it. Because the more you kill dreams, the more you kill these innovations, you're just, throwing people out of jobs and then sending people back to the streets and killing innovation. And I feel like that is wrong. That is very wrong. Now, moving on to the last but not least headline. Cryptocurrency ban remains in effect. This is according to the Finance Ministry of Ghana. Now, despite all of the many talks that have been held in favor of cryptocurrency campaigns and all that, the government of Ghana has reiterated its ban on the digital monetary channel in Ghana. The government of Ghana has reiterated that the ban on digital monetary channels remains in place. Now, according to Dr. Mohammed Amin Adam, the Minister of State at the Finance Ministry, when he was asked about this, cautioned that financial institutions have been time and time again informed not to have a hand in cryptocurrency transactions until a proper framework has been set up by the government. That is to say, until the government says it's good to go, until the government, however long they might take, establishes a framework, nobody should operate crypto. And I don't think that is something that's going to fly. And in a statement, according to Dr. Mohammed, I quote, "The government will continue to allow associated technologies such as blockchain and distributed innovations in a sandbox as we explore the development of a framework. Until such a framework is in place, the government would like to reiterate its directive conveyed in several notices, including one issued on the 9th of March 2022, that all institutions licensed by the Bank of Ghana are prohibited from facilitating crypto transactions through their platforms or agent outlets." I mean, all this effort to slow the adoption of cryptocurrency across many countries is disheartening. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what these people have against it. I mean, I know that there are pitfalls, but again, it shouldn't take forever for anybody to be able to weigh the cost benefit advantage and see that crypto definitely has much more to offer than the evil they claim it does. I mean, if we're talking of scams and frauds happen everywhere in the oil sector and the airspace sector and the internet and the social media sector. I mean, there's fraud everywhere, but crypto is no different. I mean, there will always be people who try to ruin good things, but I don't feel like that is enough excuse for it to be perpetually discredited. Even with certified commercial institutions, people still carry out frauds on those accounts. So it's like, the best anybody can do is to be cyber aware, be fraud aware for themselves. But again, no one person or institution, no single person or institution can totally, you know, have all the hand in preventing fraud. So again, I feel like this is a call to countries in Africa, leaders in countries around the globe, to again do a cost benefit analysis of how much more good cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology can do, and at the very best, create a legal framework that allows it to be incorporated in national economies rather than continue to discredit it. And that brings us to the end of this week's segment of Sats and Gwe. And again, this is a reminder that none of the news we share here is financial advice, only the opinions of the people that make this show possible. Again, you can use the links in the show notes to do your own research. Please remember to share, comment, and subscribe. Until next time, be relentless in your mission to be bankless.